This may very well be the most important podcast of the entire year. The message today is strong. I hope you'll stay tuned for the next episode of PT Talker.
This is PT Talker, presented by Advantage Medical. The aim of this podcast is to expose physical therapists to unique and innovative ideas to help grow their business. Each broadcast will introduce you to new concepts that will save you time, provide a better patient outcome, or lower your cost. And now, the host of PT Talker, Jeff Worrell.
Well, if that wasn't enough of a tease, I don't know what was, because I said this is a very important podcast, and the reason I'm saying that is because Ann Wendell, she's a physical therapist and owner of Prana Physical Therapy in Alexandria, Virginia. She has responded on behalf, she wouldn't like me saying this, but I'm going to say on behalf of the entire physical therapy profession to try and right a wrong. For those of you that do not know what I'm talking about, we'll get to that in just a second, but first want to welcome Ann to PT Talker.
Thanks, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
Okay, a lot of pressure now, Ann, because
I'm feeling it.
I hear you, yes. Well, you know, I actually read the article that we're going to talk about. This was titled, "For a Stiff Neck, Nearly $6,000 in Physical Therapy Seemed Too Much." This was written by Chris Corr, a commentator for WTOP Radio, and it appeared in the Washington Post earlier in August. And Ann, you just thought that there were some things that needed to be corrected. I want to congratulate you for doing that. You did it as part of your blog that appears on your website, prana-pt.com. But tell us a little bit about how did you feel when you first saw that title?
Oh, gosh, when I first saw it, it was like, oh, man, you know, here's some more bad press for physical therapy, which we don't need.
Yeah, here we go again, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. And the fact that, you know, I'm local, I live just outside of Washington, D.C., and I thought, oh, no, you know, this poor guy, I don't know where he is, but maybe we can get him in to get some good treatment or something.
Yeah. Well, now let's set it up. Give kind of the overview of what his primary complaint was.
Well, it seems like, you know, when he went in to get some treatment, he had a stiff neck and was sent to physical therapy. He was kind of almost bullied, I think is the way he felt, into making, you know, 11 or 12 appointments without even having talked to the therapist first. And then I guess he was uncomfortable with that, understandably, and then also not real thrilled with the type of treatment he got. And, you know, I kind of talked about this in my blog post. We don't know for sure what happened there, but we do know what his perception of what happened is. And that's kind of what matters, since that's what he's talking about.
Yeah. Now, I think one of the things that you said in your blog post that really struck home for me was you applied a philosophy from your myofascial training. Share that with our listeners.
Right. So I remember in my coursework with myo pain seminars, Jan Dahmerholt, who's a physical therapist, one of the co-teachers for the coursework, has a saying that, you know, the pain is where the patient says it is, when they say it is, and it's as bad as they say it is because it's their pain. And basically, I was, you know, making the connection that whatever happened in that physical therapy clinic, all we have to go by is what the author of this article, what his perception was and what he's sharing. And so we have to validate that because that was his experience.
Yeah. So you have thus then come up with four primary lessons that you take away from this article and things that you believe physical therapists should do. So lesson number one, I'll get you started. You say that you need to tell patients why we're asking all these questions, and that's a response to some of the silly questions he felt he was being asked.
Right. Well, and I think, too, that patients aren't used to really sitting down and talking with a healthcare provider for as long as a physical therapist might spend with them, hopefully spend with them. You know, to me, the history is a really important, if not the biggest part of the initial evaluation. So, you know, it may seem to them like we're wasting their time and they don't really understand why we're asking all these questions. So it's up to us to just say, I'm going to ask you a whole bunch of questions here, and trust me, they're all important because I want to get an overall picture of your health and the, you know, the history of this injury. And so just humor me. We're going to get through this as quickly as we can. But they need to understand that there's a purpose behind the questions that we're asking.
Right. And that simple little technique, which probably could be applied in a lot of different facets of your practice, that little simple technique, it's kind of like coaching the patient as to what to expect and thus help them to have real-world expectations, I'm assuming.
Right, right. I mean, we want to set them up for success. You know, if you think from their perspective, maybe they're scared, maybe they're worried, maybe they're afraid they're not going to understand, maybe they're irritated that their doctor told them to go to physical therapy. So, you know, we do this all day, every day, but we have to put ourselves in the patient's shoes and kind of think about how they're feeling when they come into the room with us.
Yeah. Now, your lesson number two, and you were very clear in your blog, and certainly in our pre-show discussion, you were very clear. You make do not take for granted that this is or is not a physician-owned physical therapist, even though there might be some assumptions some could jump to because it was in the same building, that kind of thing. But you're saying make sure that the patient knows that they can go anywhere.
Right. So, you know, a lot of times patients, they trust their doctor, or sometimes it's a matter of going someplace that's close by their office or their home, so they're just going to go wherever they're kind of directed to go. That's part of what we need to do as physical therapists, is to educate the public that they can take responsibility for their treatment. They can do some research and find, you know, good therapists in their area, ask questions, ask their neighbors, ask their friends, things like that. And they need to know that even if their doctor does own a physical therapy clinic, they should be given a list of clinics that they could go to, and they should know that they can choose any clinic on there. They don't have to go to the one that they're directed to by their physician.
Right. And then I love when you got into all the insurance stuff and understanding that patients would not necessarily know that you don't get reimbursed for what is actually billed. Go ahead and give us your thoughts there.
Yeah, I mean, and that's a tough one. I think patients are starting to understand this, but, you know, for a long time there was just the assumption that you go to physical therapy or the doctor or whatever, you pay your copay, and that's all you have to worry about. I guess, you know, patients are starting to get a little more savvy, but we do need to educate them that services are billed at a certain amount, but then we're only reimbursed a certain portion of that. And, you know, that's kind of its own problem, and I'm sure you could do a whole podcast about that. But, you know, it is definitely something that the front office should do, maybe when they're checking a patient's insurance benefits, or like me, I'm a cash-based practice, so I don't get into insurance benefits, but I explain to all of my patients that, you know, this is what I charge, this is the billing codes that are going to be used, and then this is what you need to ask your insurance about what you're going to be reimbursed for this.
Now, can you define for us a little bit about what your definition is of a cash-based physical therapy clinic practice? You do not accept or file any insurance on behalf of the patient?
Correct, correct. So all of my patients pay at the time of service. And then they're given an itemized invoice to submit to their insurance for reimbursement so that it comes directly back to them.
Okay. And how's that going? How's that working?
It's working out well. I've been in practice now for 2 years in the Alexandria location. I think I'm fortunate. I live just outside of D.C. where people tend to be fairly well-educated and pretty savvy consumers. And, you know, the market is here for this kind of services. But it's going well. But I think a lot of it is that I spend a lot of time explaining things to patients and communicating the value of what we do as physical therapists. And, you know, I know our value, so I need to communicate it to them so that they can understand it and value it as well.
And did you have experience working in an insurance-based practice prior to this? And can you give us maybe some of the biggest differences?
Yeah. So I've been a physical therapist for 15 years, and I've worked in every setting from inpatient neuro rehab to sports medicine clinics, outpatient orthopedics. So I've had a lot of different experience. I managed a clinic for a while. So I understand that patients do have a lot of questions, and it's, you know, very important, especially if you're taking insurance, for your front office staff to really be good at answering questions. And, you know, everything that you could possibly put in writing, you should, and really take the time to make sure that the patients understand what they're getting into.
Yeah, perfect. And what do you see as the future for physical therapy with the changes coming in healthcare? Are you optimistic? Are you pessimistic? Where are you in the whole spectrum of physical therapy going through some changes?
Well, I'm always optimistic, so whether that's a valid thing or not, I always think that if we can adapt and change to what the market conditions are, that we can still be successful. I think we're going to need to really get clear about the fact that we offer a valuable service. That's the biggest thing when you go into private practice, trying to, especially cash-based, putting a price on your hour. You know, what's your knowledge and your time worth for an hour? So you really have to value your own services and then communicate that to patients. You know, what's the difference between physical therapy and, let's say, getting a massage or going to a chiropractor? You know, not that those people can't be a part of the healthcare team, but we need to tell them kind of what is our unique value and then what is our unique value as a provider. Why should they come see us versus someone else in the area? So I think that, you know, we've got to get a little bit better at marketing, and I don't want to say selling, but selling is not a bad word. You know, we just have to be able to communicate our value to stay relevant.
Right. And thus, the title of your blog post, The Value of the Cost of Treatment. Anne Wendell, physical therapist, owner of Prana Physical Therapy in Alexandria, Virginia, was responding to the article in the Washington Post titled, For a Stiff Neck, Nearly 6,000 in Physical Therapy Seems Too Much. Anne, thanks for speaking on behalf of the physical therapy community, and thanks for joining us on PT Talker today.
Thanks, Jeff. It was my pleasure.
Well, and each and every week we bring to you an expert just like Anne Wendell, and hope that you realize and will tell all of your peers that it is free, absolutely no charge, to subscribe to PT Talker at www.pttalker.com. You can certainly pick up previous posts at iTunes. We've been doing this now for over 6 years. Lots of material there. Free, and hopefully it is material that will help you to help someone get well today. This is Jeff Worrell, and thanks for listening.
PT Talker is a presentation of Advantage Medical, bringing you business news and ideas for therapists. Join us each week for new concepts to help you grow your rehabilitation business. To listen to previous episodes, visit us on the web at pttalker.com or on iTunes.